Okay, whether or not this is the official start, who knows? But I'm telling you, I am taking this empty cartridge, unscrewing it, setting it to the side. Not a sponsor, but I go to this place around the corner called Olswell, and they sell Crude Boys brand. I don't know if you guys got that around there.
We have Crude Boys Frosted Buds. Ooh.
Yeah, I get more often than not, I get their Sweeties or their Gushers cartridge. Ooh, so tasty.
Crude Boys is very good.
Some pop. Out of curiosity, I wonder market difference. I'm not necessarily calling out your particular dispensary, but how much is it for a cartridge up north right now?
Just depending on what you get. I mean, usually by around $12 to $14.
Okay, tight. Yeah, I mean, I'm buying these for $12.
Yeah, and then you obviously there's bundle deals and stuff like that you can get. Asswell?
Oh, Asswell. I was like, I go to Olswell actually. Because I remember, maybe we talked about this the last time around, but like these were like $35-$45 back in the day. Like a cartridge was the amount that you'd spend on an eighth, and you get half grams because that would be the deal. They don't even do half grams anymore because there's no point.
No, there's not.
And let me tell you, bro, 95-96%. Ooh, there ain't nothing like it.
I said 95-96% total cannabinoids. Or is that THC?
THC is 90.
Okay, yeah. So 95% total cannabinoids. That is including your terpene percentages and all of that as well.
Get the fuck out of here and light your goddamn marijuana cigarette. Oh, yeah.
This is super boost. Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. This is already to those listening.
Already partly smoked from last night. I fell asleep while smoking this. Luckily, it didn't blow up my ashtray. I'm smoking some Super Boof by Franklin Fields. It is.
You know, the only time I end up smoking flower these days is when I'm with friends who have it. I don't do a lot of flower these days. I just have my cartridge. Like, I live with someone who doesn't smoke, so like I'm trying not to stink up the house.
Yeah.
And like, you know, well, I guess canon to this timeline we're living in, did you see the whole Snoop Dogg arc?
Yeah, that was so funny. I'm done smoking.
So I heard about it a few days before the ad dropped, where it's like a little marketing ploy. And it drops, it says Snoop Dogg says he's quitting smoking.
Yeah.
Or it said he's going smokeless. Yeah. So I think everybody assumed like either he's done smoking or like this, or he's done getting high, or this means he's switching to edibles. But then the ad came out. It's just, it starts on this tight shot of Snoop Dogg. He said something about like, I decided, maybe you heard, I'm going smokeless. I'm tired of smelling like sticky icky. And then it zooms out, and it's all just an ad for a smokeless fire pit. Cause like Snoop Dogg's, right?
He can't stop smoking weed. If Snoop Dogg quit smoking weed, at that moment
we wake up.
Yeah, I'm expecting a nuclear arsenal. Like,
we don't want that. The simulation is over at that point.
Yeah, at that point, if Snoop is done smoking, I mean, I might walk out in traffic at that point. I mean, like something crazy is around the corner, you know?
Yeah, because traffic isn't real.
Yes,
it's just exactly. It's just in a figment of my imagination, just like a man who named himself Snoop Dogg.
I don't know, man. I'd probably cry. I don't know what I'd do. I would leave. I would want to leave if Snoop is done smoking. That is for sure. We're done.
Ah, well, okay. I thought you were going. First of all, that's a bit of an overreaction. Where
sure.
I would probably weep if Snoop D-O-double-G stopped smoking. No. However, if the simulation, whatever. Hey,
I mean, let's weed pivot. Is proven to keep you. Weed, one more time. One more thing.
Okay. Sorry, give me.
Weed is proven to keep you alive and well. I mean, look at fucking Willie Nelson. How old is that man? And he's still touring? You know?
Anecdotal evidence is not proof.
That's proof. Proof is in the pudding.
Okay, well, I bet Willie Nelson doesn't eat a lot of pudding, and that's what's helping him stay alive.
That's probably, I eat a lot of pudding, and yeah, it's due to my shortcomings.
Hey, that's a great transition. Whoa. Yeah, I'm just so, I was doing the summer look. it is a perfect transition to tomorrow, it's Thanksgiving. You gonna eat lots of pudding? What you doing? What you doing tomorrow?
Well, I have to go to my wife's family's gathering tomorrow at like 1 or 2. We're gonna go there.
Okay.
Eat some good turkey. Probably drink a few beers. Watch some foosball.
I'm not putting you on the spot, but y'all making a dish to bring along, or are you just going to feast?
Just going to feast. Yeah, we're not doing the, dish. We're going to feast. It's gonna be great. And then after that, I have to go to my mom's place. Eat over there.
See the DeSicos.
Yeah, chill with the family and friends, because my mom will invite the whole fucking neighborhood.
And hell yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. We get to hang out with the nieces and nephews and get all fucking crazy with them, and while I'm all turkey drunk, you know, and it'll be a good time. Get to have. That's the thing, like, though. When you're married, you have to go to 2 Thanksgivings.
And oh, yeah.
By the end of the day, like.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. So full.
Yeah.
It makes Black Friday suck sometimes.
Well, first of all, I don't participate in that capitalist scum of a holiday, Black Friday. All
right? Right, right.
But I do participate in the feasting of foods. And the biggest thing that I'm worried about is overindulging on Hawaiian rolls and mashed potatoes. With like a ridiculous amount of butter and salt and pepper. Dude, I'm actually like, I'm making a banana bread for tomorrow. I make a lot of banana bread.
So what's that really one like. Song? Have you heard that song? Greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes.
Tomatoes, ham, yeah, lamb, dude. Chicken, turkey, you name it.
I was jammed to that in the shower earlier. My older brother Ed sent that to me. Shout out to my older brother Ed. And I was
It's from like a sermon, correct?
Yes, yes.
Like I don't know if she's talking about Thanksgiving or the holidays or celebrating something in particular, but she's like, you got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, ham, lamb, chicken, turkey, you name it. It's perfect for a fucking trap beat behind it.
To fall
you
got back.
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ham, chicken, turkey, you name it.
Dude, it's going to be amazing. But it's also funny to think about, you know, back to the Black Friday thing and everybody overindulging in turkey. Like, the next day, think of how many people are running around those stores with grocery carts just holding in Thanksgiving shits.
Yeah, you know? Has that changed? Well, wow. Wasn't ready for the Thanksgiving shits. But that is going to be brutal. It is.
Think about that. How many – you see all these people running around all weird, and you're like, you know, it's like, man, they got to poop.
Is that a thing in the past, though? Because, like, I never really participated in it. I was, like, it was a big bonding experience for my mom and sister and, like, cousin and stuff. But, like, we didn't do a lot of that. And then Cyber Monday came around. So, like, is brick-and-mortar store rushing still a thing? Is that happening?
Well, they've changed up the process. How it goes. It used to be like, hey, doors are open. Come in here and run people over and kill them.
Right.
You know?
I do remember, like, my parents or my mom, like, scooping up my sister and cousin and getting up at like 3 a.m. to go wait outside of like Walmart in Cadillac.
They've changed it up now to where it's like, okay, this particular item is going to be on sale at this time, you know, so you're not having everybody flocking to the PlayStations. I've always thought it would be funny just to go in there with a cart and just fill that bitch up with everything everybody wants and then just leave it.
Leaving it is hilarious.
Yes.
However, racing someone to something that everyone wants, there are fist fight videos.
Yes.
That start that way. Like, you piss people off. I mean, I remember when was it the PlayStation 4? I think it was, I mean, it's probably every single PlayStation, but when the PlayStation 4 came out, there was a Black Friday rush and they were just gone for a year.
Yeah.
Like, this is before all the supply chain issues and everything.
It is very concerning when you see some mid-age women throwing fists over a 6-foot Christmas teddy bear, you know?
Hey, man, first of all, yes, that does happen. But also, then you've got the, like, the douchey dudes who are like go to play security for the people that they're like with doing, and like they're the ones like back the fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, you're trying to buy like discounted butter. Get out of here.
Get out. Yeah, nobody goes grocery shopping. That would be a funny video, going in there and grocery shopping during, like, what is going on like right now?
That is a video, though. Like, someone who just came to America has no idea what Thanksgiving holiday is, walking in through a grocery store, and there's, like, people fighting in slow motion around them, and they're, like, just so happy to be in America, like... Just like putting groceries into their cart.
What are you doing Black Friday, my friend?
Making a sketch, buddy.
Let's do it. I'm for real. I'll meet you. Let's do it.
Cyber Monday. I mean, that's where the problem is. Well, first of all, everything digitally purchased now is oversold, overpriced. Like, when's the last time you bought tickets to a show?
I just had to buy Detroit Lions. Tickets through Ticketmaster. They were resold tickets, so we bought them from somebody who had already bought them.
Which $350 should be illegal.
Yes, $350 per ticket. There was three of us. We got a killer deal because once we got there and I sat down, this couple sits down next to me and she's hammered and she proceeds to tell me that she spent $1,000 per seat that she was sitting at. And she's like, that's how much you spent, right? And I didn't have the heart to tell her. And I was like, yeah. She was, okay, cool. I wanted to make sure I wasn't getting ripped off.
Brutal.
Yeah, brutal. Dude. Yeah.
Well, I look at things like this. So I've got my ticket jar here, which to my knowledge contains tickets to all the events I've been to. I'm sure there's more that I've lost and whatever, but like all the way back from like 2001 Red Wings games and stuff. I could pull some out of here and just like... look at a price. Let's see. 2006, $30
yeah.
to a Red Wings game. Like, when? What? Why? Why? These capitalists scum.
Corporate America.
Hey, what kind of content have you been consuming lately?
Ooh, what type of
be it YouTube, Netflix, podcasts.
So whatever. YouTube is my thing. I'm always on YouTube. Like, I never really watch series or anything on Netflix. I don't really watch Hulu. I just can't get into it. My attention span is always all over the place. So a YouTube video.
Do you rewatch a lot?
Rewatch a lot of YouTube?
Just rewatch. Like, yeah. Do you rewatch things, or are you consuming a lot of new content all the time?
I do both.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, like, if I go on Netflix or something, it's usually, like, I'm rewatching something. If I, like, Seinfeld, for instance, I've seen that a bunch, you know, I'll watch that. Amazing. Other stuff that I've already seen. You know, go watch some South Park.
That's your show, huh?
South Park is my show, if I'm being real.
Oh, South Park, I mean, that checks out for,
yeah.
for your personality. But Seinfeld, yeah. that was a...
Seinfeld is up there. It's very up there. It's cool. Top five. Yeah. But honestly, I've just been watching a lot of YouTube. I like it, watching those prank videos. I think those are funny. I could never have the heart to go out and do that.
I didn't realize you were a piece of shit.
Yeah, I'm a huge piece of shit. Giant piece of shit.
I've lost my freaking pen, bro. What the heck?
Let's stop the video.
I set my pen down and I lost it. No, we will not. I'm sorry. This is the ADHD. I didn't even say it. It doesn't matter. Usually I put it up front. Welcome to the ADHD Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. My name is David J. Mund, and I'm, as you can tell, joined by Alex DeSico. Okay, continue. So anyways, the content you consume. Go ahead.
So a lot of prank videos like that. I'll watch a lot of, kind of vlog type material too. You know, that's fun. Cool. Travel vlogs and stuff like that, because... I don't know. I haven't traveled much. I'd love to, so I like to watch those videos.
Yearn for the days.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, just stuff like that. Watch a lot of comedy stuff on there, you know, skits and sketches and all of the, you know, all of the sorts. I love it.
Do you still see...
by the way.
Same, but I'm trying to look for my freaking...
like stumbling over my words. All right.
We'll do it. Pause. Freaking pause. Gotta find it.
All right, y'all. If you're watching the video version, see that skull? See this? This is not a punk house, it's a punk home banner. All of these things are available at catandcrew.com. That's right, they're the first sponsors. Catandcrew.com. Enter the promo code Monday, it's Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y, to receive 10% off of your final purchase. You can get those koozies, you can get banners, you can get earrings, you can get coasters, you can get skull planters. I think it's really cool that they decided to give ADH Deep Dive listeners an exclusive deal, because, you know, it's cool that we're building a little audience here and that you guys get to have some sort of special perks that nobody else gets. So if you aren't familiar with it yet, go to catandcrew.com, enter the promo code Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y at checkout, get 10% off your final order. Okay. Back to the show.
All right. Oh, Target acquired.
Getting out of my face.
Target acquired. Let me plug into the old computer. Hey, Al, I just want to say, with that sun beaming down on your cheek, you look beautiful.
Here, hold up. Watch this. You ready?
Yep. Whoa, wow, he's so handsome. Wow,
you like that?
Such a handsome boy.
You wow. like that,
Look
dude?
Look at you. Yeah.
Hold on.
Whoa.
There was one more for you.
Jesus fucking Christ. Hey, let me pull up some notes, right? I made some notes.
So let's let the people know you did find your dad then.
Yeah. Is that what we call this? Is this not the same as a dad pen?
Cartridge. People call it all sorts of things. People,
yeah, no, it's just, I mean, it's a pen. It's a pen.
They called it a bat. I was like, a bat? I've had people call the cartridges bullets. I was like, what are you talking about? It's a cart.
Hey, let's talk about bison, yo. We'll plug it at the end. But you guys now have a is it your next show?
No, our next show will be already passed once this airs, which is this Friday, Black Friday.
Oh, snaps. People are going to be kicking down the doors to get discount tickets to see Bison play.
Yes, sir. I hope. Anyways.
Okay, cool. Where are you buying?
So, yeah, and the Greenhouse. We're playing there. Nice Sweet. Little long show. And then we have the New Year show we're playing with the boys over there from Live for Tomorrow. There's
you
another
talk about
band
a little
called
bit?
Party. Yeah, I'm super stoked for it, honestly. It's going to be a good old grand time.
Talk about the – there's like a new venue, right? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so it's called the Venue Event Center. It's on 13th Street here in Cadillac, right behind the truck stop. And they bring in national bands from, you know, across the country. They also bring in big, huge-name cover bands. They do all of the sports. They host private events. And, you know, they're allowing, you know, a nice they're allowing to have some local talent come in there and, you know, provide some New Year's Eve entertainment for everybody.
Local talent. I hope you're not talking about you.
No, I'm just a guy. But I'll be there. Yeah,
okay, sweet.
I'll be there. I'm just a guy screaming in a microphone. Not really screaming. I'm singing. But the other boys from the other bands, they be screaming, though. Super excited.
They do be screaming. They do be screaming, though.
Yeah, and they can't.
We're playing with them December 9th.
Live for Tomorrow, yes.
Yeah, let me get those plugs in real fast. Mid-show plugs, you know what I'm saying? Or mid-episode plugs. Midwest Skies is playing at the Pike Room at the Crowfoot Monday. As when this episode comes out, we're playing today upstairs at the Crowfoot with Action Adventure, Cliff Diver, and Keep Flying. There's some pretty big national touring pop punk acts right now. We got in on this show at the last minute. Super exciting. And then December 2nd, we're playing at BMO's in Bay City with Bring Your Best, Searching for Closure, and Oh No, I've Forgotten the Last Act. And I apologize for that. I did this last week when I talked about the show. I forgot the name of the last act. I feel bad.
That's that ADHD talker. You got your phone.
Yeah.
You have to look it up.
You're right. I do. And then December 9th. Yeah, Live for Tomorrow. Years Later and Lame Ass Dads from Toledo, Ohio.
I love that name.
I love it so much. That'll be Turnstiles in Grand Rapids. So we got Pontiac, Bay City, and then Grand Rapids. Okay, let me look up the freaking show. 1 second. And then we'll get back to talking about this fucking asshole. Evan Oldenburg and Tyler Wiz. That's what it is. Okay. Tight. All right. So, for those who didn't listen last episode or don't know you at all, what to put you on the spot, and what is bison? How long has bison been around?
So once upon a bison is the full name. A lot of people just call us bison.
Yep, sorry.
We have been around for, hell, I think 6 years.
Tight.
I want to say. So, yeah, for 6 years now. I'd say we're a rock band for sure, as far as genre speaking. Yeah. There's some psychedelic influences in there. There's some punk in there. There's some pop. We actually do some pop music too. We like to keep ourselves in a box, you know. We'll do some old school classic covers too. So yeah, our sound is kind of all over the place. We don't really.
If you had to do like a circle of influences, sound wise, like a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this, when it comes to artists for bison.
Ooh, I definitely have to put Queens of the Stone Age in there. Is a big one for us. Huge influence on us. You could even throw in there some Pink Floyd. There's some Pink Floyd influences in there. And then honestly, I'd like to throw in some old school soul type of stuff, you know, because I feel like, you know, I bring a lot of soul to the table when we're singing, when I'm performing. You know, big influence for me, the Temptations. Growing up, tight. They were huge for me. Obviously, our sound doesn't mimic them at all, but, you know, I steal some runs from them and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Borrow, I should say.
It'd be interesting if you could do DNA tests on bands like you can with, like, Ancestry.com. Like, I got a little bit of Polish in me. It's like, there's a little bit of, like, Fugazi in there. Like,
yeah. There's some like, reggae ska influence in there, too, you know? I'd say, like, Sublime, yeah. You know, stuff of the sort.
When I think of your former project, Little Sketchy, my mind immediately goes to ska adjacent.
Like, yes.
Even though that's not necessarily you weren't leaning like all the way into that, but like, I don't know. I picture you as a Sublime guy.
Yes.
And that like resonates from there.
Yeah, I am a Sublime guy. I do love Sublime, but you know, my favorite bands. I just said it the other day on a podcast, was Led Zeppelin, Queens of the Stone Age. And it used to be Sublime up there, but lately I've been really, really, really falling into King Gizzard and the Wizard
and
Lizard.
And the Wizard Lizard, yeah.
Yes, dude, they are awesome.
Tight.
So
somebody introduced me to them recently. Where do your like influences come from? Because I was recently listening to a podcast, I might have even been as early as this morning, where like... You start, like, your first influences are just whatever your parents are listening to. Like, you listen to that, that's the first music you know because they're exposing it to you. And then at a certain point, you do this thing where, like, you sort of intentionally rebel. And this is, of course, projecting, and this is just lumping everyone into a particular group, assuming everyone does the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you go through this, like, I'm going to experiment on my own. What my parents listen to is, like, not my vibe. And then around, like, early to mid 20s, you start like bringing that back into the fold and go like, oh, my parents actually had pretty decent taste. I'll listen to that with the stuff I experimented with. And then that's what you kind of lock in for the next few decades. Yeah. Like you don't really, most people, well, let's just go with some people don't explore beyond that once they've got what they came up with in their teens and early 20s and then what their parents listen to. So like, where do your heavy influences come from throughout that genre, like,
so me and my father and I really, really, really connected with music. You know, he was a musician, yeah. He was a singer in a band.
I didn't know he was in a band as well.
Yeah, he played in a band called Wizardry in the 80s. It was like it was a metal band, a hair metal band.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he did that. But a lot of the influence that I received from him was that, you know, that classic rock vibe, you know. Van Halen, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple, Pink Floyd, like all of those guys, that was what my dad listened to. Black Sabbath was a huge one for him. And just growing up listening to that stuff, like I never really rebelled against that. Like I never really thought my dad's music was shit because I loved it, you know, growing up listening to that. But I did definitely rebel when I started getting into to hip hop, a big hip hop head.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, my dad did not appreciate hip hop you know?
Yeah.
He's just one of those old school rocker dudes, you know, that was around before hip hop was a thing. And then hip hop came around and it wasn't his sound.
You know? So when you say hip hop, did you start with like LA hip hop, or were you into like BC Boys culture, or were you like?
So shout out to my brother Dio on this, who was actually named after Ronnie James Dio. That's how big of a rocker my dad was.
Can you explain the name?
Ronnie James Dio.
Who's that?
Oh my God, you don't know who Ronnie James Dio is?
Well, for the listeners, brother.
Oh, okay.
But also still no.
He is like the god of metal, my man. He's the reason this is around.
Okay.
Well, his grandmother is.
This can be a history podcast. Let's go,
yeah,
God.
Yeah. So he, so I don't know the entire history of Ronnie James Dio, I guess, but you know, he was a singer. He was a really short dude. Amazing voice. He was probably like 5'4" with this huge 7-foot-tall voice underneath him, you know. And he played, you know, in a solo group just called Dio. But he also played with, I believe it was Deep Purple as well. He was the singer for Deep Purple for a little bit, and another band as well that I can't remember the name of. But he fucking rocked it, man. He was amazing. And my dad fell in love with him as a child. And growing up through his teens and into early adulthood, he used to love how the name Dio was written on the albums of the vinyl. How was the logo like was
slightly slanted.
It was in that old English style lettering. Sure. It just said Dio. Sure. And he, he decided to name him Dio. My mom wanted to name him Corey. So Dio was a way cooler name. So yeah, but anyways, he's definitely not a Corey.
Also, inside baseball, I'm doing it for the listeners. My best impression of Dio. There you go. I'm Dio. He's great. He's a great guy. Visually,
he is. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Dio. But yeah, he
shout out Dio.
He got me into hip hop at a very young age. My brother did, and I'm thankful for that because I'm still to this day I'm a huge hip hop head.
Quick tangent before we get listening to the hip hop thing. Yeah. Do you know your namesake, or is it just where, like, why are you? Why
Alex? Yeah, I do actually. My brother named me. They didn't have a name for me.
Oh, really?
Dio named me as a kid. Yeah.
Like when you popped out?
I don't know if it was necessarily when I popped out, but it was before I was born. I do believe.
It's like, what do you want your brother to be called?
He used to watch this. I think it was Alexandria, the Bumblebee show or something weird when he was a child.
Oh, so you could have been a girl named Alexandria.
He said that name. And my mom and dad were like, oh, Alexander. So here I am in the flesh.
This is why I love this podcast, just to be clear.
But yes. And I mean, I love my name. You know, it's a good name, don't you think? Alexander flows, you know?
You suck. Yeah, all right. That sucks.
But yeah, where was I? Hip-hop. Yeah, he introduced me to hip-hop. My brother did. Super young age. I strictly remember him really falling in love with, like, Tupac and Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. He was a huge West Coast guy when all of that was going on when I was a kid.
This is late 90s, early 2000s then?
Late 90s, yeah, early 2000s. My brother fell in love with it super early due to our cousins. They gave him some tape. I don't remember what it was, but he just fell in love with hip-hop. And, you know, that was his way of rebelling against our parents was hip hop, and introduced me to all of them. And then I just started really gravitating towards it, stealing his CDs, listening to his CDs. Well, not stealing them because he had a fucking firm grip on his CDs. But just going through the motions with that, listening to that. And that led me into, you know, getting into like metal. I got into metal at a super young age too. Like, you know, the typical
like classic metal? Slipknot
and stuff, like Slipknot and stuff like that, you know. And then pop punk really came into my life with Blink 182 when I was a kid and
you
Green Day.
Bastard.
Yeah. And, from there I fell in love with that. That was a huge influence on me for a very, very long time. And, now here I am, I guess. And it just kind of molded and kept growing. My dad also was the one that introduced me to Motown and soul music.
Oh shit.
The Jackson 5. That was huge. Michael Jackson, the Jackson, you know, Jackson 5, the Temptations, the Four Tops, the Spinners, Marvin Gaye, Aretha Franklin. Like, dude, we used to blast that shit when I was a kid. It was a lot of fun.
I had a bit of a trifecta because you know, my parents split when I was very young, but we still went to my dad's. So my stepdad is my dad, and my biological dad is also my dad. But for the sake of this conversation, I'll just say my stepdad. So my stepdad listened to a ton of classic rock, like the Beatles, Zeppelin, Skinnerd. He was a big AC/DC guy. So like, I remember the first CD I ever bought myself was had to be like 2003 or something. AC/DC came out with another album, and it was like, oh my God, AC/DC is coming out with a new album. And I remember being excited about that and buying that. But my mom listened to a lot of like country radio. So like a lot of Garth Brooks, a lot of,
Was big for
Kenny,
me too.
Kenny Chesney. Kenny Chesney was a big one. Tim McGraw. Lots of those guys. And then
that was good country.
You can't
hate it. That was the good
Thunder
country,
rolls, you know? And the lightning strikes. All right.
Damn right. Sang Garth Brooks, baby.
Garth Brooks, baby. Where are the bodies, Garth? Some inside baseball. I don't know if you know anything about that. But anyways, my dad, my biological dad, listened to a lot of like Elvis Presley and the Beach Boys and like some of that like blues and Johnny Cash and like that type of stuff. And then I think I did get kind of locked in a rock adjacent pocket. I never really, other than like what the radio was pumping out, because like, of course, like at school dances, they're playing top 50 hits or top radio hits.
Yeah.
From what was the station? 107.9 CDY.
CDY.
I don't think that existed at the time. I think it was all just 105.9.
The Bear, right?
Well, that was 96.7, is that right? I don't know. This is way... who gives a fuck about the radio stations of local Northern Michigan, whatever. But, like, my only pop exposure was that stuff, like, through school. But then I pivoted into some weird pockets. Like, Blink-182 was... I have to credit a lot of my favorite bands now are bands I found with Ethan Hinkston. Like, he introduced me to Blink-182, and then like I introduced him to A Day to Remember. It was like a like musical swaps, a lot of everything. Like he introduced me to Fall Out Boy. I introduced him to Atreyu. You know what I mean? Like those are the types of little pockets that we're getting into. And then yeah, you come full swing.
Atreyu.
Yeah, I get out to
Atreyu
New York.
Is fucking sick,
dude! I love that shit. My first ever MySpace profile song was Falling Down off of their Lead Sales Paper Anchor album. My MySpace profile song. That's a throwback. Good time.
It was so cool back then.
I know.
Dude, I miss it. Apparently, bring MySpace back.
Apparently it exists exclusively for musical artists. I don't know much about it, how it operates, how it works or whatever, but like it might be worth still exploring. I mean, we can do it.
Do you remember getting on MySpace and your first friend was always Tom?
Yeah, and then there was a rumor that went around that if you deleted Tom, he would delete your Facebook, or he would delete your MySpace.
Yep.
So I was like, I gotta add Tom back.
Yeah.
You can give a fuck about that.
His little picture, remember he's at the computer looking over.
So he's got like some equation behind him or something on a whiteboard.
Yes. Bring it back.
Didn't Justin Timberlake buy MySpace? I feel like that's true. Should I
don't know.
Let me research that. I'm gonna find that out. Who owns MySpace?
I feel like I completely cut you off with this here. Listen,
this is the podcast, brother.
Yeah, that's true.
This show is not about it. Don't acknowledge the elephant in the room, dude.
It's there.
First search result, did Justin Timberlake retire? Second search result, did Justin Timberlake buy MySpace? In June 2009, MySpace employed approximately 1,600 employees. In June 2011, Specific Media Group and Justin Timberlake jointly purchased the company for approximately $35 million.
No shit.
Oh, wait. And then in 2016, it was announced that MySpace and its parent company had been purchased by Time like Time Magazine for $87 million. All right. Well, there you go. Time owns it.
Time owns it. Get off your fucking ass, Time, and you
and put bring Tom my back space at the helm. Back.
I want to be able to completely control my profile. I want to have a background where somebody gets down there and like, man, this guy is cool. Listen to this music he has. He's got the best music on his profile. Like,
bring my background back. For a long time was the Skull Candies logo. And I was like, fucking, I'm so edgy, dude.
Dude, so that's what it was all about. Dude.
I'm in like the seventh grade and I'm like, yeah, dude, I ripped those headphones.
Dude, Skull Candies were dope back in the
day. They were the brand name. Fuck yeah, Beats, dude. Nobody knew who Beats. I mean, no. Dr. Dre didn't have shit. Skullcandy did it first, dog.
They're bright ass colors.
The punks did it first, Dre.
Yeah.
That's the thumbnail right there.
But for real, bring MySpace back. Full fledged. I'm about it.
I think it exists. So let's just flood the page. Millennials?
Yes.
Let's team up with let's teach them Zers how it's done. A little bit of HTML. Changing the background a little bit. Teach you how to
MySpace
code.
MySpace taught, I was gonna say, it taught everybody how to code.
Yeah, and I've forgotten every single bit of it.
Yeah. I mean, it was really just copy paste.
Yeah, but you could hit F11, dude, and we got in there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Man, do I gotta pull the notes? I listen to a lot of podcasts with that. Once it gets to that, like, clearly that topic's over, you hear like, so what else is going on?
Yeah.
What else is going on, Alex? What are you thinking about? What's on your brain, buddy? Tell the people, man.
The biggest thing on my brain right now.
Anything you're
Munch,
stressing you about?
The biggest thing.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The biggest
dude.
Thing on my plate.
Come on. Why haven't I even talked about that, dude? Do you want to talk about it?
I'm going to be a dad, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to call him daddy next week.
Yes. Well, in April. You shouldn't call me
That's
daddy
what I
yet.
Meant. I know, I can't. Oh, well, I've been doing that.
I mean, you've been calling me
I
daddy,
meant next year.
Official.
Next
yes,
year,
it'll
and
be
I said
official
week.
In April.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife and I are expecting a baby. Super, 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 super happy about it. That was definitely something, you know, that we want to step into is parenthood. I know it's not for everybody, but that's what we want to do. And I am the most excited and the most terrified I've ever been in my entire life.
I'm sure.
It's a weird, weird feeling. And I guess that feeling probably never goes away once you have a child. You know, you're always just super excited for your kid, but also scared for what lies outside of your home doors and the world, you know? So a lot of that's been going through my mind. Like, man, I'm going to be solely in charge, me, my wife and I, of a human life. It's heavy.
One that is not it's your wild. Own, even. And yes. Some feel incapable of, like, balancing the weight of their own individual life stresses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so much, dude. Like, okay, so here's the thing. Obviously, first of all, the fact that you want to be a father,
yes,
and you're about to be a father, puts you at an advantage when it comes to some children's relationships with their fathers.
That is true.
They never wanted to be a parent. It was a total surprise. They did not have the options that we do today. Well, if you vote about it.
If you're in the right state.
Yeah, for real though. But yeah, wanting to be a dad, I think is the most important part of about being a dad, because even when it's like really hard, there's still this like, okay, but I have something I looked forward to, you know, rather than just like this bomb that got dropped on you. And I was, again, from podcasts, a lot of people work like meaningless, dead end bullshit jobs that like destroy them because they're like, there's no point. Like, what is the point of doing this? That the second they have children, suddenly it gives that purpose. Like, they're suddenly, you're not just like grinding for yourself just to like kill time and like maybe get some money. Now you're like, you are responsible for a human life. So suddenly this bullshit thing has purpose. So like literally having a child gives some people the purpose that they did not have.
Yes. So,
that's all I got.
That was good though. It was great.
Well, I say that as a person who like just doesn't, I don't know, dude. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know.
Well, you've expressed that you're not sure if you want a child.
I don't want to, but I don't want to. I don't want to be that guy in this conversation. This is a happy conversation about your future childhood or your future.
Everybody, dude. I used to be in the same boat. Catch me at 21, 22, 23 years. Catch me before I met my wife. I was like, I don't want to fuck a kid. Like, that sounds rough, you know. But then I don't know, something switched in me. And I was like, you know what? That seems fun.
What is your capacity?
Seems rewarding.
What is your capacity for anger?
See, I don't know. I don't really get mad that often. I'm a pretty chilled out dude, I feel like. But the thing is, for me, I was raised around children. You know, my mom used to run a daycare and stuff. So I'm a lot more patient with children than most people are that haven't been around them as much. You know, I get along with kids. I can understand them. I can get on their level, you know, and kind of talk through things if I have to with them and stuff. But as far as anger goes, yeah, I feel like as far as anger with children, I'm really patient. You know, there's stuff that angers me for sure. Like earlier when I couldn't get my computer working.
Yeah, that was some insane. See, okay, so that exact thing though, so not to, I don't think that this needs to be the space where I work through some of my own family or, dare I say, daddy issues. But I just mean like that type of anger is the type of stuff that like I saw in my dad that I very clearly could see in myself as just being like, my dad got really angry at us. And I can see as an adult now that like it certainly was not on purpose. He did not hate us. My dad does love us. It's a tough, strained way of communicating it, but like I am aware that my dad loves us whether we say the words or not. But I reflect on like him being my dad when I was younger, and he was a kid. Like he was in his early 20s raising, well, every other weekend a kid in like what in the middle of having to work. So I was in the garage with him a lot, like needing to get a tool for him, and then like him like hurting his hand and then just seeing fuck like that's the kind of stuff that I mean. No! Like, seeing your dad get angry is it's a sight that like your child your child will see you get very angry and remember some of that stuff in the future, whether it's like look, you're never gonna beat your kid, you're never gonna intentionally hurt your kid or whatever, but just to scare you some more, like you're going to do some stuff that your kid remembers forever. And that's what scares me about being a dad is like,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
But the difference is I feel like a lot of people aren't self-aware of that. You know, they don't think about that. The fact that you're thinking about that, no, that sets you apart.
Yeah. No, let's not talk about me. Let's talk about you. okay, so, but you're excited to be a dad.
Dude, super excited. Super excited.
You find out the sex of the baby soon. Is that correct?
Saturday.
Boy.
This Saturday.
Right after Thanksgiving.
So I will know before this airs.
You might have some mashed potatoes still in your system while you're finding out.
Yeah. I'm gonna have chicken, potatoes, tomatoes, and greens, and peas, and greens, and teas, and fleas, and beans, and
a baby.
God, I said beans. I said fleas. I said fleas.
You eating fleas?
Why did I say fleas?
You eating
fleas? I'm eating fleas, baby.
Fleas for Thanksgiving. It's a new way. Do you think you'll become the...
We flee it.
Do you think you'll become, like, looking to, you know, whatever. Let's go into fantasy land of family future. Do you imagine yourself being the hub of family affairs in the future? Or do you like being, like, we go to someone else's, like...
I like going other places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just imagine, like, when you... Because, of course, this kid will grow to be an adult. Mm-hmm. You'll probably have another child. Is that correct? Yeah, that's your anticipation, is that you want to. I see you as a multi-dad kind of guy.
I've told my wife, let's start with one.
Well, yeah, of course.
So let's start with one and see how we feel. Would I want multiple kids? I'd like to say yes, but I don't know. After I have this first kid, I'm going to be like, you know what?
Right.
One is good.
Well, and also the projection that happens that I just did to you is a lot of people are like, okay, you're together. When are you going to get married? Okay, now that you're married, when are you going to have a kid? Okay, now that you had a kid, when are you going to have another kid? Okay, now that you had two kids.
Right.
It's like, slow the fuck down. Let me think about it.
Yeah. Right. Let me live.
But where's the fear? Like, what fears? I mean, you sound relatively positive going into it. Just like, you know, whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. But, like, what do you feel, like, is some heavy weight on you? Because you said that it's, like, the most exciting thing for you, but also that you're terrified.
Well, it's just those things of, like, oh, man, I'm going to be directly in charge of a human life. And, you know, the direct outcome of, you know, how this child can be perceived, you know, or how he can... how the child's going to think, you know, am I going to be a good influence on this child? Am I going to, you know, it's a lot of inward fears, you know, like, oh man, am I equipped for this?
Right.
Kind of deal. And I feel like I am, I know I am, you know, deep down inside, but it's just, you still have those second guesses, you know, am I going to be a good dad? Is that kid going to like me? Is the kid going to be 15 years old and can't stand my guts because I did something wrong one time, you
That's
know?
Horrifying.
Yeah, it's
that,
horrifying.
That.
It's horrifying. Yes.
It's like, I might accidentally yell too loud one day when my kid is 2 years old, and at 16 years old, he's going to remember that and be like, my dad was so angry when I was young, and all I can remember is just his angry face and resent me forever. And I'm like, I didn't mean to. I don't know. I just...
I feel it. Trust me. I feel it. It scares me. And, you know, it's just stuff like that. You know, are we going to, as a unit, you know, be able to coincide together and agree on things, you know, because once the baby's here, it's like people have differing opinions, but it's just a matter of being able to meet in the middle and, you know, appropriately tackle the situations at hand, you know? So, but my wife and I, we are very good with communicating. So,
yeah.
I think we will be good. It's just a matter of getting our ducks in a row, setting up that routine, you know, running with it.
Do you imagine that you have a parenting style baked into your DNA, or is it something that will, I mean, of course some of it will form over time, but like, what are these like idealizations that you have of like, okay, I'm going to do this with my kid. My plan is to do this, this, and this.
I just want to be a fun dad.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't want to force my kid to do anything that they don't want to do. I want to be there for them. I want to be able to effectively communicate with my child, you know, and like I said, understand how they're feeling, you know, because we come from a generation of shut up and go to your room because I said so.
Yes, because I said so.
Because I said so. We're from the because I said so generation. Exactly. Yeah. I want to be able to explain things to my child.
Yeah.
Will there be moments where that slips out of my mouth?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we're all human. I'm positive it's going to. I'm sure there's not a single parent out there that has never said because, you know, or an offshoot of that phrase. But if that is to happen, I want to be aware of it and be able to sit down and hash out with my child and talk about it. You know, I want to be a fun dad. I want to go take my kid to events. I want to do things with my kid. You know, I feel like that was something I missed out on a lot as a child, you know, like we never really went out and did too much together as a family. You know, we couldn't afford it at the end of the day.
Sure.
But I want to be able to be there for my kid. You know, if there's a sport they want to do, let's do it. If you want to do music, let's do it. If you want to play video games, let's do it. Like, if you, I don't care what you want to do. You want to, if I have a girl, you want to sit around and play Barbies? gonna be the best freaking Barbie playing partner you've ever played with. You know, like, I want to, you want to go play football? Let's go play football. You're like, I want to do all of that with my kid. I want to experience. I want this kid to experience life with me. You know,
do you think it'll happen where you are? Do you think you're going to stick around like the Northern Michigan area?
Who knows? Right now we have no plans on leaving. I love it up here. I really do. A lot of people don't like it. I love it. I left here. I went to Lansing for 3 years. Did I have a grand time? Absolutely. But, you know, there's nothing like the little small town life for me. I love the small town vibe, the small town life, just being able to go out, you know, you don't have to worry about too much. Like being in Detroit this last weekend, you know, there's a lot of anxiety that comes with that. You know, you got people walking all around you, a ton of people, 70,000 people in the stadium. Love it. Right, exactly. You know, but for me, I'm opposite of that. You know, do I love going to big cities? Sure, but I love to be able to go back home. You know, I can see ourselves if we were to move somewhere bigger, it would be like in the outskirts. We would be in the country, kind of deal.
Did you ever have to move when you were going to school, or did you?
No, I was. Born, my parents bought the house, born in that house, and my mom still has the house.
Cool.
So we've never moved, which is crazy.
But, yeah, I think about what that does to a kid and their relationships. Like, yeah. Because like school is, yes, there are fundamental educational things that you need to learn, but it's more about building relationships with people and learning how to like form connections and understand social cues and like, and when you pluck someone in like the seventh grade and then they have to spend the next half or like just like in their senior year or something, like what does that do to a kid's ability to maintain friendships? Because we grew up in small towns. A lot of our best friends are the people that we grew up with. Some people don't know anybody they grew up with because like they just moved when they were young. So if that was a decision you were going to make, you'd have to do it like before your child gets established in some sort of learning.
And that's the thing too, you know, I see myself sticking around here. Like we're already trying to put roots in, you know, find a house, stuff like that. So buy a bigger house because we're going to need a bigger house. Kids, man.
Freaking kids. I grabbed myself a little nanner. So my munch on this nanner. Pretty sure my dog farted. Kind of stinks a little bit in here. Kind of ruining this banana.
I had the munchies. I had to get something as well.
That's what drugs do to you, folks. Makes you want a nanner.
I'm telling you, dude. This turkey. I know you're a veg. You're still a vegetarian?
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't appreciate these turkey pinwheels, but they're really good.
Hey. Just because I'm colorblind doesn't mean I can't appreciate a good painting. You know what I'm saying, dude?
That's true. That is true.
I just think... Bahamas?
Go ahead.
Nah, the bit's over. Tell me about Hamas.
Hamas is delicious.
We're going to just... This is a great audio portion of this podcast where we're munching on food, but I'm going to allow it. I'm going to tie some of the last two bits of conversation we had together. Of course, you have a child on the way. You are still in a band. You also do some externally creative stuff. What are some ambitions that you are worried you might have to let go of? And what are some that you're excited to like... use your child as inspiration for? Like, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm asking?
Oh, you're trying to say, like, what creative avenues would I have to let go of, you're saying?
Yeah, like, of course, like, being a parent requires a lot of sacrifices, like, when it comes to your time and your creativity and your ambitions, but, like, you don't have to give everything up.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you plan to continue your creative endeavors as you lean into fatherhood?
Well, once my baby's here, we are going to I am going to take some time off from pretty much a lot of stuff creatively. You know, I'm going to probably have to take off quite some time from band and pretty much everything and just focus on a newborn frail child. But one thing that's really cool and what I'm really thankful for is my wife is super supportive of everything I do creatively, even if she doesn't like it. You know, my humor and stuff. She doesn't like my jokes. Sorry. Sorry, babe. But
is she sitting next to you with a gun to your head right now?
She is.
Blink twice.
If she was, I wouldn't have said that. But yeah, so I'm just going to take some time off. And honestly, I haven't really thought that far ahead yet because I'm trying to just take it as it comes, you know, and once I feel like I need to start being more pragmatic about my approaches towards creativity, that's when I will really start to kind of put it down on paper and just write it down based off what I can and can't do anymore time-wise.
I want to preface what I'm saying here as like I'm saying what I'm saying to you because you are my friend rather than just like some person I'm talking to about fatherhood. But I come to a lot of my friends who are about to be parents who I see the most, like, so, blanket statement. I love you. I think you're incredibly talented. I think that your ambition has gotten you places that I could see growing exponentially if you were able to still put time into it. I've seen a lot of friends become a parent, love being a parent, push a lot of their creativity aside, and then, even though they still continue to love being a parent, they realize they lost touch with their creative self along the way. And that, like, there's a lot of parents who did have to give up a lot because kids were just sprung onto them and then all of their ambition is just trashed. So I'm not saying that's who you are. Mm-hmm. I just fear for my friends who are very talented, who have put a lot of time personally in their own lives into like trying to be the best creative person they can be and then having to stop for a while.
For me, I have to be creative, so I don't think that will ever, you know, I may slow my progress on creativity a little bit, but I still have to be creative just for my own mental fortitude. If I'm not being creative, like I said, I think I said this on the last podcast, it's like I will get down in the dumps if I'm not doing something creative or like.
But that's what I mean.
You know,
is like it doesn't happen. Of course, you wouldn't do it on purpose. You wouldn't just like stop. But like all of a sudden, that I've had friends who like one day realize that like, shit, I wasn't doing any. I don't know. I don't want to project this shit onto you.
No, you're fine. I mean, it's a real thing that people deal with. You know. And like I said, I think I am in a good position to where I will still be able to, you know, tackle creativity. There's maybe things that I have to give up along the way. Sure. But will I have to adjust how I do things? Yeah. Just being adaptable, you know, finding the correct time to do it. You know, that kid's going to sleep eventually. So kid will go to bed. I'll be creative then.
That is true. You know? That's true. What are some things that you'd like to do? I mean, this doesn't have to do with, of course you'll be a father behind all of this stuff, but like, is it music for you still that is like the crown jewel? Is it like the visual creations? Like,
so
what is the thing that you want to be attached to most if you had to be?
The cool thing is, like, I love music. Music is my thing. Like, there's nothing like performing music, you know, in front of others and just feeling that feeling of acceptance, you know, so long as it's a good show. We've all been there.
Yeah, we've all bombed. Cool, and it hurts.
Yes, it does. And then you start pointing fingers and blaming others, and then you're like, oh, wait.
Can you talk about a bomb? Let's talk about bombs. That's some inside baseball. Do you have a bomb that you can remember?
My biggest bomb was the first time I have ever performed in front of anybody, ever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, as far as musically. Me and one of my best friends in life, Jake Fobble, he got me into, like, really performing music. Had a little acoustic thing that we were doing. And we're just playing a few songs. And I mean, this is back in the days of playing Nirvana. We played like Nirvana on acoustic guitars. Like that was
where?
That's how cool we thought we were.
What is the event?
So this is at Coyote Crossings. Open mic. We show
okay,
up.
Okay, so there. It's an open mic. Open mic.
An open mic. First time. My buddy's like, listen, let's go up there and do this. He's like, I've done it before. I was like, all right, whatever. We go up there. And the first two songs we played were in a half step down. So we had our two guitars tuned to a half step down. Everything was great. We get up there. We play the first two songs. Everybody's clapping. They're having a good time. Like, oh, cool. You guys good. Are not bad. You know, they could tell we're beginning. You know, they could tell I was a very fresh, green musician.
How old are you?
And then I think I'm 21, 20 years old.
21. You were 21 when you performed for the first time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't get I didn't get a guitar and start playing guitar until I was 18.
No, like performances in school of anything. You weren't in any like.
I did performing arts, but I mean that was like you know like forensics per se.
Yeah.
Just doing that, but like it was just in front of the class. But I swept. I don't mean to toot my own horn. I was involved in every single award. For that class that's that they gave right. out for that semester. I had the best monologue, the best duo. I was a part of the best group performance, the best musical performance.
Hell yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Hell yeah. So this bomb.
Yeah. So our guitars are tuned half step down. We play those first two songs. We go to move on to the next last two songs we had because we're playing four songs. And we forgot to tune our guitars back up to standard for these two songs. And we played those two songs in a half step down and it just sounded really, really, really wonky because of my voice. Well, I was trying to sing it in the tune of as if it was in standard. So I was trying to find the pitch. And
now how early into the song did you realize that you were the half step down?
I was so green to music. I forgot. I was so nervous to tune our guitars. My buddy just forgot to tune them.
Okay.
And we didn't, he realized about a quarter of the way into the last song that we forgot to tune our guitars. Yeah. And there was like 12 people there and they all clapped. They were all super nice still, you know, like, and then we're like, and then Jake was like, yeah, we forgot to tune our guitars on the microphone and everybody laughed. But that was a really, really big bomb there for me.
Wow. You know what? I was so ready to be on board. For you,
I should have scared me away from music, honestly.
But you told me people clapped.
They clapped. Nice. Yeah, they
to me, nice. A bomb is like no one reacts, no one does anything. I mean, I'm not to sell you short. I'm not even saying that necessarily. I've had a nobody claps, nobody does anything. But like, I don't know. I've had some experiences that I can think of, like just like underwhelming expectations. Like,
yeah.
We had a show recently where, like, we were really excited to play the show. I was a big fan of the headliner, been a fan of the headliner for years, and they had to drop out at the last minute, and that, like, destroyed turnout. We ended up putting on a great show, but to nobody. You know what I mean? Like, I always feel bad when I say the word nobody, because, of course, there were people listening and, like,
but there wasn't the amount of people you expected.
Yeah, but then that makes me feel like a douche when I'm like, oh.
No, you stop that, dude. You're valid in that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm a little stony baloney.
No, I have a... What was that? You were like, what?
I'm just a little stone.
No, I'm saying, how'd you put it?
Yes.
No, I I've definitely played performances where there was nobody there. There was one show that I did years ago with an old band, and there was like six people there probably, and we had a hell of a time. The people there liked us still, but yeah, that was a really big like oof moment, you know.
It is amazing that we continue, though, right? That, like, after so many times of, like, not feeling good on
music,
stage, or, like...
I've never done heroin, but I imagine it's the closest you could get to it. You know, I feel like we're all...
I bet there are things that get you closer.
That is true, yeah. But yep. We are all, you know, I used to, you know, we're chasing the dragon here.
Yeah.
You know? It's like golf, you know, it's like golf.
Yeah.
You ever gone golfing, David? You get out there. Yes. You're like, oh man, you're hitting the ball shitty all day. And then you get to hole like 13 and you line up on a par 3, perfect shot. You land right next to the hole and you birdie it. It's like,
oh, you're such a dad. You're such a dad.
Yes, I am. But you know what I'm saying though?
It's, you like, know, son, nothing in life will ever come as close as the feeling getting on hole 13.
Exactly. Never had
a hole. Dad, shut the fuck up, bro.
But you know what I'm saying though? It's like, I get that. Chasing the Dragon, you know, how many times, like, what was your favorite show you've ever done?
Ah, damn, I was just gonna ask you that, you son of a bitch. See, honestly, my favorite show to this day that I've ever played, well, there's two, I have to say, are tied because they're important in the same ways. Is the show that I played when I met Midwest Skies, and then the biggest show that I've played with Midwest Skies, which was when we played the Pyramid Scheme here.
Yeah.
They've done huge shows. They've opened up for fucking Neck Deep. They played to like 30,000 people in the past. Like, it's been a huge thing in the past. But I'm in a moment right now where there's like a rebuilding phase.
Yeah.
So like, to have that song or to have that show come after the song that we released, and then see people in a packed Pyramid Scheme sing our song back to us, was like, fucking did it, bro.
Like, well, I did here we it. Are.
But then you leave that show and you're like, now what? Now what do I do? Is that your dog?
Yeah.
She's yeah, let me see it. Let the people see it.
I can't.
Oh, I thought you had a...
I do, but I'm hooked up to the charger. I have a laptop and all that. So.
Oh, it's sleeping? I thought... She's That's sleeping. Amazing. I thought that was your dog's growling.
She's growling in her sleep.
Fantastic.
Get him, Bella. Get him.
Oh, snap.
She's wrecking him there.
Dang. Well, hey, fella.
So yeah, my favorite show. Let me go on.
What's yours?
Mine was when we opened up for Everclear this past July. That was
this year.
Yeah, this past July. The Uncle Sam Jam in Woodhaven. No, not Woodhaven. Somewhere down there, somewhere by Detroit. I think it was Woodhaven. But yeah.
So we both had the best shows of our lives this summer.
Yeah. That was intense. That was really, really, really fucking cool. Going out there, playing in front of that many people, getting down, and people loved us. And at the end of the set, the last two songs, it was a monsoon downpour on us. And we
kept
playing. Yeah.
Hell yes, dude.
Playing. We got off the stage and the stage manager was like, I can't believe you guys kept going.
Was the crowd getting down?
The crowd all ran to a tent that was nearby, and there was a good amount of people that still stayed there and partied with us in the rain. You know, cool, it was dude. A really muddy mess. That was a fucking blast.
Yeah, it's like a fucking Green Day at the what's that big festival where they get it's fucking Woodstock. Yeah, Woodstock, where they got mud thrown at them and everything.
Yeah, it was just like that.
Keep playing. You just keep playing.
Dude, it was awesome. I was fucking freaking out after we got done, though, because all of my gear was wet. And I was like, you know, we're not Everclear, guys. We should have stopped, but nothing got broken.
Did everything survive?
Everything survived. We just put it away and didn't touch it for like a week. I got home. I put all my stuff out in the sun.
Hell yeah.
Let it sit out there. Yeah.
Some rock star shit, dude.
Dude, it was insane. It was cool. A lot of fun.
Do you ever, I mean, I keep going for some inside baseball stuff, but do you guys have any rules or firm stances on stopping songs and starting them over? Have you ever had to do that?
Yeah, we don't. We never have. We just go for it.
You shouldn't. Oh, yeah. But there's a few times. Okay. There's one time. This is the bomb I'm thinking. It was last year, maybe like the third show that I played with Midwest Skies. We were playing at Turnstiles. We have a Christmas song. And it starts with bells coming through a PA. That's the only thing that you hear outside. It's not like we don't play any backtracks of him and just like bells. But the whole band is supposed to play with the bells, and I'm supposed to be the first one to play. So if I'm off one beat, the whole band is off. Dude, we could not. We couldn't get it. We couldn't get it. So we like, you hear the bells at the start, and like, it's like sleigh bells. And then when I realized we were off, I was like, okay, quick. If we stop now, it's not embarrassing. It's like, oh, that's just like, clearly there's a technical issue. We could just say that. Then there becomes like big church, like, imagine like, I don't know. Yeah. Just church bells, whatever.
Yeah.
In the first like intro, like the actual intro to the song. And, once that goes, like, you can't stop. You shouldn't stop. Because it's very clear that that's where the song is supposed to be going. And we stopped again. Because, like, it was just, you can't. So on the third time, we were like, we're playing without the backtrack. Like, the backtrack's not working. But, like, you lose so much momentum at that point that you realize everybody's just, like, kind of cringing, like, I don't know. And you just, when you look at everyone not enjoying you, that's when it hurts.
Yeah.
So I just got to keep my eyes closed.
We had a pretty big bomb this past summer, but I played it off really well. I feel like we recovered.
Oh yeah.
We were standing up on stage and they were like, somebody said, let's play, or I said, let's play Ever Since, or excuse me. I said, let's play Psychedelic Gravy.
Tight.
And they
music video shot and directed by David J. Mund. Go ahead.
Yes sir. My video. And I don't know what happened. Somebody said, let's play Ever Since I've Been Drinking, and I guess they said I agreed to it. I don't remember doing it in heat of the moment. Maybe I did. And I turned around to start and I go bah, and the rest of the band started Ever Since I've Been Drinking bah, and it's a clear stop.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah. I said, oh, no, let's do it again. Charlie counts it in and bam. And I was like, oh, and they keep going. And Charlie stops. He goes, what's going on? And I said, what? He said, we're supposed to be playing Ever Since I've Been Drinking. I said, I thought we were playing yeah, Psychedelic Gravy. This is all in the microphone.
Okay.
We're looking at us. And he's like, yep. No, we're playing Ever Since I've Been Drinking. I said, hold on. I turned to the crowd. I said, hey, guys. I said, bear with us real quick. I said, we're trying to play two different songs up here. I said, do you guys want to hear a song about psychedelics or do you want to hear a song about drinking? Everybody's like, drinking! It was like, all right, cool.
Sweet.
Cool. So then we started right into it, killed it. But that was one of those moments of like, oh, shit, you know? I feel like in those moments, you just have to play it off. You have to laugh it off. You have to be one with the crowd. Put yourself in their shoes for a moment, you know?
And one thing you and I have talked about like on different phone calls is like, that's where improv comes into play in a big way. It's like, yes. You have to be capable of being funny and personable. Not just making like a dick joke to like get the crowd to laugh real quick to distract, but like you got to communicate.
Yeah.
You got to like bring them in, make them part of the act.
Like, yeah.
And that's a skill. It takes a skill.
Another one of those moments for us was at the Grateful Bear camp out this last year. School festival. But we go to startup Funk 49. And we started up and I played it so bad. The rest of the band did so well. I'm the lead on that. And I was just off and played it so horribly bad. At the end of it, some people were clapping and I pointed at them. I was like, oh, you guys are all too nice. I was like, you guys are so nice. I appreciate it. I was like, the rest of you guys, I was like, you're valid in your opinion on us up here. I was like, I really fucked that up. And everybody laughed, you know, and we went into the next song. It's just a matter of, yeah, we did that. We fucked up. We're human.
Well, and one of the things that we've found out, I think it's quintessentially punk to like make fun of yourselves and say that you sound like shit. But there's a delicate balance of like saying you sound like shit and then convincing the crowd that you actually sound like shit. So like you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
And exactly. One of the things that we've found just as a three piece, because it's really nice being a three piece, A, for scheduling purposes, B, fitting us all on the stage aesthetically, it looks nice, but also like we can build that relationship with the crowd where like everybody gets to know our names, we have conversations throughout. I end up becoming the fall guy for a lot of jokes, which happens in a lot of my friendship dynamics. You know, whatever.
You got,
but that's
you
fine.
Got strong shoulders, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I can play that role. And, like, you know, it's a performance. It's not just, like, people... If people just wanted to listen to music, they'd put headphones on and listen to music. Like, yeah. They're going to a show. At the end of the day, it's people on a stage performing visually. I think that's a big part, component. Not just the music part. So you can fuck up music. Music is, yes, a big part of playing live music, but it's not the only important part.
Exactly.
Okay.
And, oh, okay. Well, you okay, Emily, dude? What's up?
Yeah, yeah, fucking, no, dude, I'm okay. If you got something to say, bro, say something to say. I was ready to fucking dip you out of here, but if you don't fucking keep talking, bro, keep running your goddamn mouth.
Keep running my fucking mouth, dude. I have to tell you something, dude.
What you breezing?
This is a pineapple coconut.
Gross. Listen, I don't really do nicotine much these days, but like if I do, it's hitting someone else's breeze.
Yeah, same. I don't either.
I usually don't either.
I'm waiting for this to be gone. I bought this because I was drunk last weekend in Detroit.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah.
I will promise myself forever now, no cigarettes. None. Yeah. Those days are done. Those days are over.
They're so gross. They're so gross.
I did it from like 14 to fucking, what, 23? Whenever I moved out to New York and stopped buying them, 26? Whatever, however old I was. I don't know. What is time? Okay.
It's an illusion.
That's your okay.
It's an okay.
Now you're getting the fuck out of here. All right.
All right, buddy.
Plug. What you got? Coming up.
Once Upon a Bison, you can catch us at the Venue Event Center, Cadillac, Michigan, New Year's Eve. You can get your tickets from us. You have to shoot us a Beautiful. Message. You can do all that good stuff. We'll get the tickets to you. We'll be up there with the boys from Live for Tomorrow.
Do you have a
headlining? And then another
band
called
Party. Do you have a physical ticket link?
You can get right on the Venue Event Center. I think it's the venueeccadillac.com. Find that event, go in there. It will ask you which band you are buying the tickets from. Type in Bison in there. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, that's going to be fun. Right now we have three bands. We're maybe trying to find a fourth band, maybe. But there's also a DJ Double Dribble will be up there. So Double get up dribble. There. What is it? $15 a ticket? $15?
Totally reasonable, there. People. No yes. Ticketmaster bullshit there.
Essentially, there is. I mean, if it's only three bands, I don't know if we're going to end up with four. But if we have three bands, it's $5 a band you're paying. Come on. Come on.
Easy money.
Come on.
Come on. All right. We won't go there. All right. You go ahead and hang out on the line. November 27th, when this episode comes out, we will be playing at the Crowfoot with Action Adventure, Cliff Diver, Keep Flying, probably our biggest show of the year, probably the biggest show I will have played in a long time. So come on out, check us out. Then December 2nd, December 9th, MidwestSkiesRock.com, catandcrew.com, KATANDCREW. Enter the promo code Monday, MUNDAY. Get 10% off your first purchase. And then if you want to become a supporter of this show, tap the link in the description. Just go to the Buzzsprout link. I think that's it. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Alex, I love you. You're beautiful. Thank you being on the show. Hang out on the line. Got anything you want to say?
No, I'm just going to finish off this other piece of this turkey pinwheel here. That's going to be absolutely delicious.
Tight. I want you to slowly put it towards your mouth, and as you bite, I'll slowly zoom in, and then I'll cut. Oh god, I'm so scared. It'll cut before it gets too... Okay, alright. Oh god.